Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
I don't know what they're trying to prove. When I see WWE, I feel there was a time when they had competition and when they saw a good idea, they went out and they did it. Now they see a good idea, but they're really scared to actually put it out there because they're scared that it's going to blow up in their face. So they try to keep it away for such a long time. Sometimes they just change their mind altogether. Big E's on top of the world. Now he's not. Damon Sandow, Money in the Bank. Now he's not. Sheamus, out of all people, he was on the commercials. Hey, brother, I'm with the kids. Now even Sheamus is sinking. I'm shocked because he was turning into a John Cena where he kicks out of everything. He pins on, he'll do his bro kick even though he's got hit by a chair 5 times and he'll still be able to stand and smile.
Yeah, you almost made me empathize with Sheamus until you said, oh, he was becoming another John Cena. And then I just thought, I don't like him anymore. I think this is the only correct term for this era. You had the Golden Era, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression Era. The only correct term, I think, is the PC Era. And I think that's just the kind of world we live in now. You're supposed to be a little extra scared of trying new things. But at least me personally, I really don't know what's in the mind of the people that make the decisions in WWE. I'd love to be a fly on the wall on those discussions because, I don't know, it could be anything from just incompetence to, like you said, just being scared of trying new ideas. Another thing could be that they're just scared to give the ball to certain guys that they don't know if they are investments that are going to pay off or not. You talked about a few people. I'll give you another example, and that's Dolph Ziggler. I mean, I look at Dolph Ziggler and I see, in a lot of ways, the next Shawn Michaels. He's a guy that makes everybody look great. And you see his promos, if you just let him go, his promos are pretty solid too. And when I saw that match, I don't know if you remember last year, the match he had with Del Rio where he was a champion, but he had a concussion. That really reminded me of how Shawn Michaels' world title push started when he also had, I don't know if it was a concussion or what it was, when Owen Hart kicked him in the head. It also started pretty much the same way, and I thought they were really going to get behind him, and suddenly, it's just like you said, he was on the top of the world, and next thing he wasn't.
Right now, we are speaking with Afonso Mahero. He is at Heelbook. You can check him out on Facebook, Heelbook. He makes pretty awesome shirts. And right now, he's on my program in this exclusive interview for the Orange News Talk Show. Dolph Ziggler is a great example because you know and I know it's almost a year ago when he won the world title. It's amazing how in 1 year, Afonso, WWE can suddenly change everything. A year ago, there was more mid-carders actually getting a push. A lot more. Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, and Dolph Ziggler, I'm trying to get the top of my head at the moment. Now, I feel they made this big battle royal just so Vince McMahon can sit down and do his X and checks. All right, who do I like and who don't I like? This past Tuesday on my program, when I spoke with Big Nasty at Bleacher Report, we had that conversation how when you look at this WrestleMania and you look at now the network and how the network has got such a huge influence when watching wrestling, Daniel Bryan is a perfect example. Bray Wyatt's a perfect example. You think they're on top of the world, and in a year later, Bray Wyatt might be just a guy coaching the Bad News Bears. Bray Wyatt, who right now, he's interesting to watch. He's great on the mic. He's athletic. It's a brand new, fresh storyline, something we haven't seen in a few years. Many saw him from NXT going all the way up, so they've seen what he can do. And we know WWE is capable of ruining the whole Wyatt storyline. It's capable of just sinking Bray Wyatt if he does one thing wrong. If he says one thing, wait, here it is. Good example, Ryback. See, we're not even talking about Ryback. This man was undefeated. He was the next Goldberg. He was powerful. He wasn't good on the mic, but he was able to boost up the crowd. Feed me more. He had a great intro, you know, ripping off the shirt. And now we don't even talk about him. I haven't even mentioned Ryback in forever. In such a long time.
Well, Ryback, I think, is a little different. I'll tell you why. Ryback's push came a little too soon, and I think WWE just backed themselves into a corner the way they pushed him, because I kind of looked at Ryback as a guy that, when they put him with CM Punk, was the right time to give him either the IC title or the US title, so he could hold on to it for a while, get some good victories over solid mid-carders, and then maybe move on from there. They just put him with CM Punk because they needed a stand-in. And at least from my view, he wasn't going to win that feud. So they just backed themselves into a corner because he kind of had the Goldberg push, which is, your gimmick is you're a monster and you win. So as soon as you stop winning, your push stops working. And not only that, you have the other thing with Ryback, which I obviously can't confirm. I only, you know, see what I see, which is that he sometimes can be a little unsafe in the ring. So, you know, probably not the best guy to push if things really are that way. So that'd be my opinion on Ryback. You were talking about the Battle Royal. You know, I just call it the mid-card chaos match because that's what it is. It's what you were saying. It's just putting some checks on it and making sure everybody's there. And the Divas Invitational, it's the same thing. I just want to tell you one thing about that match. It's an invitational. Isn't an invitational supposed to be something exclusive? Like, you know, you dress up, you go to a fancy nightclub, and you're about to go in, and what do you hear? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Tonight's invitational only. I mean, come on. Every single Diva's on that match.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, so if everyone's invited from the whole Diva division, then I don't know how that's called an invitational. Unless Trish Stratus comes back out of nowhere. Unless she was invited last minute. I don't understand.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
These matches, it's just there to try and get the crowd all riled up to kill time. It's just the way, like you said, to put every single person on the match lineup. What I've noticed in wrestling, Afonso, is everyone agrees with everyone when it comes to off the air, not storylines like you and me. You know, I'm a radio host. You are, I don't know what you want to call yourself. You want to call yourself a blogger? If you want to call yourself an entrepreneur for WWE?
I'm a malcontent.
That's good enough for me. Everyone agrees with each other. I enjoy politics, and I always get into a debate now and then. I'm a fan of sports in America. You get your ons and offs, but when it comes to wrestling, from this past Tuesday, speaking to two guests and speaking to you and speaking to friends, everyone agrees with one thing. The WWE writers have no idea what they're doing. And WWE is possibly going into the wrong direction for many reasons. And everyone agrees with that. We all want Dolph Ziggler to be champion. Not going to happen. We all want to see a storyline actually get a good build-up. Brock Lesnar and Undertaker. has not been a good buildup at all. Yet, WWE writers are scared. Well, of course you're scared. You were the one that made this match. I didn't make it. I wanted Undertaker and Sting. That didn't happen.
I wanted to be careful what you wish for, my friend. That's just my opinion on that one.
Oh, no. I mean, it's going to happen. It has to happen. If Undertaker-Sting does not happen in my lifetime, then Vince McMahon screwed up as a chairman. Because Vince McMahon, to finally get Sting to come to WWE for the first time, he wants one more match. Of course, he's going to want it at Mania. And if we don't get Sting vs. Undertaker, you know what we're going to get. We are going to get the senior citizen match. It'll be Sting versus John Cena. That's exactly what it'll be. And John Cena will beat the Phenom Sting and put another statistic on his resume before he goes into the clouds and retires.
I don't know, man. I'll just tell you one thing about Sting. And but before I tell you that, I just want to say I'm a big fan of Sting, especially of his promos. But let me ask you something. When you see Sting wrestle, what is he wearing?
Well, it depends. When he was in TNA, he was wearing a t-shirt and tights.
There you go. He's wearing a t-shirt.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. You want him to wear your shirts. Oh, no, I'm kidding. What you're saying is it's beautiful publicity. Well, no, what the hell am I saying? It's a great marketing scheme for Vince McMahon.
Actually, no. I was going in a completely different direction.
Oh.
I like your thinking. What I was going for is he's wearing a t-shirt, which tells me that what's underneath, and from a physical standpoint, he's not on his best level. And you can not only see that by what he wears, but a little bit from the way he works his matches. So if Taker versus Sting for me, if it doesn't happen, you know, I'm not gonna cry about it. It's not a, you know, I think the train has sailed on that match. I prefer to see Taker versus Lesnar. The match I thought was gonna happen was Taker versus Cena because it's WrestleMania 30. So I think it'd be a good time for Taker to retire, but I guess he still has a few matches in him, so that's not gonna happen.
I think you make great points. Right now, we are speaking with Heel Book's own Afonso Mahero, and we're speaking to him all the way from Portugal right here in this exclusive interview before WrestleMania 30. I think you... See, I never thought of it that way. How, Andrew, guess what? Undertaker and Sting, they're old. They won't be able to push each other. And I think when you think of Sting versus Taker, Afonso, you get so caught up into the dream match that you really forget, can this match actually go on for 30 minutes? Now, I only watch TNA Wrestling, and that's the wrestling company that's kind of the alternate, very small company. They've really been struggling the past 2 years when it comes to money and actually keeping their wrestlers long term. And I only watched TNA for 1 year, and that was last year. And I watched Sting, by the way, for that 1 year. I didn't watch him this year. I watched him 2013. And I watched Sting against Bully Ray, that's Bubba Ray, years ago in the WWE. And Sting put up amazing matches. He flying in the air, and he's ripping up mats. So when I think of, could Sting actually wrestle like what you were kind of going at? I think it's how WWE uses his character. That if Sting, if he comes back and I see see Sting in a match and I don't see Sting does well, am I going to blame how old he is or well his age or how good he is, his fitness? Or am I going to blame WWE? I'm probably going to blame WWE. I'm probably going to say, well, guess what? WWE, you didn't use him right. So it's your fault. I'm not going to blame Sting. Because I've seen Sting capable of when he's pushed and when he really wants to give a good match to the fans, he's going to give it no matter what. Now, back to what I was saying about the t-shirt, I can't say that's not a good point because it is. The reason why Vince McMahon wants CM Punk back so bad is because CM Punk brings the second most income in for accessories and t-shirts. Triple H doesn't want him back for attitudes and a whole bunch of reasons, but that's why Vince wants him back. CM Punk comes back this Sunday with a brand new t-shirt and the attitude adjustments, Daniel Bryan and with his new titles. Oh my goodness, you're going to want to buy a Punk shirt the next night on the one probably better than WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw. So imagine you introduce a brand new CM Punk shirt, CM Punk comes back, boom, you're making a ton of money. You and me are not making crap, but Vince is making something.
That's true. Here's my big question with what you just said. And I wrote a little bit about this. And that is, what is WWE's target audience? Because this is where I have some difficulty. Right now, they target mostly kids. But there's a fan base. Some say it has some people. Some say it has a lot more than that, which is the more adult, diehard fan base. But I think we can agree that, for the most part, they target the kids, which leaves you and me with a question, which is, you know, who really moves the needle now? Is it the adult fans? Is it the kids fans? Do they really care that much about the older fans? Because for me, that's the big question now. What do you think?
I don't think they do, because this is an era called PG. It's about no blood, no injuries. Well, not no injuries. It's about having fun. And I think attracting the older fans has kind of left a long time ago, because the WWE feels that the older fans have kids. Have you seen that new WrestleMania commercial and you see the young boy growing up from the Golden Era, Hulk Hogan, to Stone Cold in the Attitude Era, to now John Cena, and you see him and his family with his kid walking in.
Yeah.
So apparently the WWE believes that all the older people are fathers. I'm 23 years old. I have no girlfriend, plan not to have one in a while. I don't think I'm going to have kids for a long time. So I'm still an audience member that, I mean, I'm not looking for blood. I'm not looking for cursing. I'm not looking for beer drinking. I'm looking at a good caliber match all around. And I personally feel that the PG era and you focusing on one demographic, and that's children, is ruining the whole product. Because that's what WWE is. WWE is a product. It is a business. It's a public company. And they have no competition anymore. So it really is now up to them and only them to really come out and create a good product. And if they can't do that, then they're kind of going to lose money altogether. So yeah, I believe that they are forgetting about us, the older people, because they feel that they don't exist anymore. They believe that we all grown up from the Attitude Era. No, we have not. Some of us were 9, 10 years old during the Attitude Era. No one was 18, 19 years old. Yes, young kids watched the Attitude Era. Yes, kids enjoyed it. It's the only reason why you got this PG era is because it's what's good for business. And I don't want to use the words of Triple H, but that's what it comes down to. It's what's good for business. It's what's best for business. Again, you're a public company. You can't be promoting concussions. You can't be promoting weapons being used. You can't be promoting blood. You can't be promoting. So again, Vince McMahon, it's a different world for him and where his company's in. And yes, what you said much earlier, the Attitude Era, it was fresh. It was new. It was a new idea that Vince McMahon came up with. How about we put weapons? How about we have a rivalry between the CEO boss and the wrestler? How about we do all this new stuff? Now it's old, and that's not what the company wants no more.
Yeah, I think they're just recycling for the most part. But I think as a consumer, I really agree with you. As a consumer of a TV product, WWE isn't delivering what I want to see. You know, no question. But you touched on what I was going to mention to you next, which is the money, the business. The people WWE right now are the most accountable to are arguably not the consumers. they're the shareholders. And right now, as it looks, the shareholders are pretty happy with what WWE are doing. So while that happens, I think we're going to have a lot of what we're seeing now. That's one thing. The other thing is, in a way, I think WWE is trying to start over because, as you said, they think we're all parents now. So they have to get themselves a whole new wave of fans. And the way to do that is to, in a way, bring back the product to what it was in the golden era, which is why you no longer have Hulk Hogan, but you have John Cena.
And don't get me wrong. When I saw the commercial on the WWE Network, actually, how this young boy went from Hulk Hogan all the way to, it actually was a really awesome commercial, don't get me wrong. It really shows how someone in the 80s, a young kid watching Hulk, now can share with his family what he has shared. It shows that WWE didn't influence anyone to go hit anyone with a chair, but, you know, grown up, got a job, started a family, but still had the interest of wrestling in his mind, and now it's sharing with his family. It's a great, great commercial. But I do feel it's showing, well, you're all grown up now, so now we want to attract your kids. We want to show your kids what you had in a little bit of a different way because times have changed. The way we look at gay marriage changed. The way we look at the status quo changed. The way we look at wrestling changed. And I think also the reason why it's changed is because of recent events. Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, what do they have, Afonso, that John Cena and The Rock don't have? They're not huge. They're not buff. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They're just some, you know, pretty, you know, small guys. And they go out there and they're high flying and they go in the ring and they kick in the face, a very martial art UFC type. They're not big anymore. That's not what Vince McMahon wants. That's not what's best for business. So I think also it brings an example of the WWE is not looking for what's best for the fans, but what's best for business and what's going to make them money.
Yeah, that's true. I think a lot about what you been talking about now, because on one hand you have the John Cena's, the Rocks, the Hogan's, the poster boys, so to speak, and on the other hand you have all these great workers like Punk and Brian, and this kind of makes me think, couldn't we just do both things, do what's best for business and do what's best to please the fans, even if it's just the real diehard pro wrestling fans? And this may be the one time where I actually agree with the whole roster split, brand splits, having two world titles thing. Why can't we have one title for the poster boys and one title for the workers? Wouldn't that just help please everybody?
I would hope so. I guess that's not what they're thinking. Right now we are speaking with Heelbook's own Afonso Mahara, all the way from Portugal, and we are speaking about WrestleMania, and now even getting into the conversation of the product of wrestling, how it's changed, and what they might need to do. Afonso, I want to reach out one last thing before we end our interview here. I feel a new era is coming. I feel it's coming. I don't know if it's ever going to actually form, and I think it's going to be called the mid-card era. It's going to be an era where the wrestling fans are getting sick of the Hall of Famers, sick of the part-time contracts, sick of men like The Rock, Batista, RVD, coming Brock Lesnar, even The Undertaker, walking into the ring once, twice a year, making millions of dollars, and might not actually put up a five-star caliber match. And I think we're seeing the mid-card era, where we're starting to push for men like Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow and the Wyatt family and the Shield. Guys who are working their heart out every week, going into the ring and doing what they want to do. And that's show the fans that, guess what, it's not about the money. It's actually about what goes on in this ring. And I think the one that's starting it, and let's see if the WWE doesn't kill it, or if we, the audience, don't kill it, it's Daniel Bryan. And I think the Yes Movement is starting this mid-card era where Daniel Bryan is saying, guess what? It's about us now. The ones who never got the chance. It's our time.
Well, man, I wish that were true, especially because the mid-card guys really have a lot of talent. And you can see that they're willing to work for it and work hard. I think what you think of as the mid-card era is, unfortunately, I don't know if it's a niche, but it's pretty close to a niche because I think in the big picture, again, unfortunately, the kind of pro wrestling fans that I am and you are, we're not that many, which really doesn't help our cause, I guess. But hey, if you're right, you won't hear me complaining.
Well, I hope I'm right. I'm not trying to go to my audience and to you. I'm not trying to tell people this is what's going to happen. I'm not a writer. This is just my theory, and this is what I would like to see. And I think there is a very good opportunity it could happen. Will it? I don't know. Again, everything we talk about right now, we'll come back here a year later, and everything's changed. The people we saw headlining changes. The Miz, he's another good example. He won the title at WrestleMania, even though The Rock came in and, you know, kind of gave it to him. Still, The Miz was on top of the world, and now we don't know what he is. There are sources saying The Miz is going to be a heel. I thought The Miz was already a heel. The Miz might just do commentating. Well, I haven't seen him on the network or on the sideline. The Miz hosted SummerSlam. Now, I don't even remember who the host is half the time. That's a big problem. And I hope the WWE can really create this era and really start pushing these guys. I hate when those come up to me who don't really watch wrestling anymore and say, Andrew, the old days were so much better. Now, why were they better? They were better because they actually took mid-carders, new talent, and gave them a push, put them into good storylines, and build them up to great, prosperous careers. Stone Cold, The Rock, The Hardy Boys, Kurt Angle, Rikishi, Triple H, these guys were no ones. People forget that Triple H was just a long-haired guy in the 90s with long tights before he entered DX and then his own individual storyline right after in 2000. People forget that Kurt Angle, who was once his Olympic medalist, ended up being one of the greatest athletes of all time. Even Rikishi, even him, ended up being someone huge. So I'm telling you, people forget that the Hardy Boy and the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian, the way they organized each bracket from the tag team to the cruiserweight to the hardcore to the intercontinentals to the U.S. to the world and to the WWE and to the women's champion at the time. WWE was able to somehow work with everyone, build everyone in their own way, and they let the fans decide, all right, the fans like them, we're going to keep them in. And now I'm scared that in the next 5-10 years, who's going to come back for my kids from my childhood? Who? Because I don't see anyone. John Cena? That's about it. John Cena. John Cena and The Rock in a wheelchair. Here comes The Rock. Here he comes. Because apparently they're not building up anyone right now. Again, we see all these guys like you know, Kevin Nash coming back out of nowhere, you know, and The Godfather. You know, these were cute gimmicks. But they also had a good build-up, and they actually got a good place in their career. Where Dolph Ziggler, who's that guy again? Oh, sorry. Alfonso, heel book. I know you wanted to share your five things I think you were talking about.
Oh, yeah, we were supposed to do this Tuesday, and you had a guy on the panel, Big Nasty, who was from Bleacher Report, and I just started thinking. I know, maybe I should do a top five. So I started thinking about it, and I went with the top five reasons Daniel Bryan will not win the title at WrestleMania 30.
All right, please share. Share me why D-Bry, the Yes Movement, is going to collapse.
Okay, and don't be scared. This is just five reasons, because everybody that just listened to your last 5 minutes, you know, you got some scared wrestling fans on your hands after what you just said. So just keep in mind, it's a list. Here we go. Number one, reasons why Daniel Bryan will not win at WrestleMania 30. Number one, because Orton isn't there to take Bryan's finisher because he's still making his entrance. Number two, WWE knows that Batista can hold the belts with one hand and his oxygen mask with the other. Number three, Bryan loses so Hulk Hogan can come down and force us to relive WrestleMania 9. Number four, WWE knows there's more money in Orton versus Cena 532. And finally, number five, just before the main event, Vince McMahon is backstage and he says this: I feel like you've paid your dues and you've proven you don't back down and keep working hard no matter what. The fans are clearly behind you, and so am I. You have my full support as the next champion. Now go get him, Hunter!
Yo, imagine that happens. And we're talking about your fifth one. If Triple H wins the title, like Monday Night Raw, like Triple H comes out with both belts and Stephanie's like making out with him, like, oh baby, you won. That would be the biggest F you to the fans.
Hey, I wouldn't be half surprised. Let me tell you, the one thing about the last year of WWE is you literally can't tell what's going to happen. Part of this is because of what you just said. There have been a lot of FUs lately, haven't there? But you're kind of going into WrestleMania and you have no idea. I mean, it makes sense for Bryan to win finally, but it's what you just said. Can you imagine the amount of heat Triple H gets if he wins?
It's true. And I've been telling people, every match on the card is pretty predictable what's going to happen. With the Shield and Kane and the New Age Outlaws, the Shield might lose and break up, or they might win, and then they kind of, you know, it's kind of going into the Authority versus the WWE. So, okay, the Shield wins, that's 1-0. And the Divas match, whoever wins, probably we all want AJ to lose it. Doesn't matter to who, she wins, not a big deal. And then you got Undertaker, Lesnar, Taker's going to win. And then you got Daniel Bryan, Triple H, and you have no idea what's going to happen. Yeah, we all think Daniel Bryan's going to win. Yeah, they put him in this match because of us. Batista, originally planned, might just win the whole damn thing. And we all just got a big, you know, oops.
No, he won't.
He's going to come out there. Evolution is a mystery. Cheese somewhere.
Exactly. No, it's going to be 2 minutes into the match, and Batista's going to be down trying to catch his breath. He won't win. Don't worry about it.
Batista.
You know something? This is the part where I have to tell you something, because we're talking about the card. I think we're forgetting one thing, and that's the Hall of Fame. And I just wanted to really focus on one thing before you let me go. You have probably the strongest class ever in the Hall of Fame. Even the celebrity makes sense for once. But for me, you know, there's one guy that's not on the class, but it's almost like he's being inducted. And that man is Diamond Dallas Page. You have a Hall of Fame class that has Scott Hall and Jake the Snake Roberts, that are two guys that have been that have had some pretty rough moments in their lives with drug abuse and all sorts of other things. And if you see them today, they are way better. And you got two reasons for that. One is DDP yoga, and the other one is, I don't know if you know this, DDP has something called the Accountability Crib. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
It's slightly connected to DDP yoga. What he does is he has a few people in his house and he films everything. So while he's trying to help people like Scott Hall and Jake Roberts, everything is being filmed. So if for some reason something doesn't go right, somebody falls off the wagon, something, everything is recorded. They are always accountable. And you can tell that that kind of thing, plus the way DDP helps them and is always upfront with them, really, really makes a difference. So the moment I see Scott Hall and Jake Roberts be inducted, I just see it as DDP also being inducted.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I also believe that many of these wrestlers who, you know, we see Jake the Snake, he's now been diagnosed with cancer and the struggles that Roman, Razor Ramon went through. I think it's going to be really good to show the audience the obstacles they went through and why maybe you shouldn't make the same mistakes. And how, you know, sadly enough, you know, being diagnosed with cancer, it's sadly, you know, a struggle. But to see those guys come up there, and you know that they're gonna look great, and they go and they're gonna smile, and I think they're both gonna get standing ovations. Heel Book's own Afonso Mahero, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate your time, and hope we can speak with you in the near future, and hopefully we can begin a partnership together. I don't see any reason why we can't.
Sure, man. Listen, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me. Especially thank you for having me back, because Skype really wasn't helping on Tuesday. I do want to tell you and everyone who's listening that I'm giving away a shirt just for the Yo Andrew viewers. So if you go to heelbook.com/YoAndrew, there's possibly a t-shirt waiting for you. So just enter your information, and on April 7th, I'll get in touch with you, and who knows? Even if you don't win, I'll get you something.
There you go, heelbook.com/YoAndrew, heelbook.com/YoAndrew, and enter to win a free shirt on Heelbook and my own behalf. Thanks, Afonso. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Stay heel.